Well, HIV and AIDS projects are exempted from U.S. President Donald Trump's ban on aid for South Africa. Mr. Trump last week ordered a halt or a suspension in all foreign aid the U.S. government provides to South Africa and, of course, many other countries as well. Projects funded through the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, are exempted at least until the end of April. This is from the executive order. We discussed the matter with Bekisisa's Mia Malan. Good evening to you, Mia. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Mia, of course, this executive order and what it does and what it doesn't ban, especially from a healthcare perspective and a sector, still needs to be unpacked more clearly. I mean, the way Donald Trump is signing orders into place, it's by the time he's done with one, the previous ones have not as yet been properly clarified. What do we know about the programs that are excluded from the order, from the executive order, and for now, thus far, will be exempt from banning and will continue?
So I have spoken to the U.S. Embassy here in Pretoria and got it confirmed that there is a limited period during which that executive order, where all foreign aid that's banned for South Africa, doesn't apply to projects funded through the U.S. government's AIDS fund, which is called PEPFAR. Now, that limited period is 90 days, about until the end of April. And the reason why it's 90 days is because when President Trump was inaugurated and he announced a freeze on U.S. aid-funded projects or U.S. government-funded projects, he said it was for 90 days because he wanted to have 90 days to evaluate whether he still wanted to fund those projects. And then a little bit after that, he announced a waiver for some projects. And part of that was projects that hand out life-saving drugs. And that's why HIV projects qualified. So during this period, even after the weekend when he said no more foreign aid, these projects in South Africa can still qualify for waivers. The complication around it is you can't just start up and think you qualify for a waiver because there was a memo. You need a letter that from the U.S. government that says that you can, you know, continue with your activities. And no project in South Africa has yet received such a letter. All of them are still waiting.
You know, of course, Mia, you and Bekisisa certainly is with not just with AIDS and HIV related matters, but also nutrition, various other health related projects. Are there other projects that are actually subject to the order and they are not excluded, like PEPFAR supposedly being excluded? And you're of course waiting on that letter. But, you know, when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to various forms of other development, health related and wellness and well-being related, that are subject to this order and will very likely, you know, not qualify for any funding in the future?
Well, the way that I understand this order is that all projects have to stop, especially projects, obviously, that received stop work orders. Now, my knowledge lies in the health world. You know, I deal with the health projects, and the comment I got from the U.S. Embassy only pertained to projects that got funds from the PEPFAR fund, the AIDS fund. So I'm not too sure about the rest, but what I can say is the way it seems that the Trump administration will evaluate projects as to whether they are worthwhile to continue to receive funding is not according to whether they are good with achieving their mission or their objectives or the reason why they were established. They will be evaluated around whether they further Trump's ideologies. In other words, whether they're anti-abortion, whether they don't believe in gender diversity, whether they don't believe in inclusion and of people who are disabled or different races when it comes to policies for work appointments. And if you use those things as the metrics as to whether, you know, you qualify or not, then of course there's going to be many of them that don't qualify, that just don't, simply don't agree with them. I think the confusion is all these projects ask, what is the metric? What are you going to use to evaluate us? Because, you know, we were established for a certain reason and it seems that's not what you're going to use to evaluate us. So I think there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of confusion and a serious lack of communication right now from the U.S. government. And also because, you know, all those USAID officials were fired, now court order says they can be reinstated. There just hasn't been enough aid people around to properly communicate with projects.
You know, of course, Mia, this indeed is a worrying and a disturbing trend. And even if it continues into April, the whole introduction of how, or rather the way the administration went about non-informing and the cloud of uncertainty that hangs over PEPFAR and many other life-saving projects is sure to cause further stress and anxiety amongst those who are, you know, providing the treatment, rely on, you know, the treatment even for their livelihoods and the millions of people who benefit from it, at, you know, in the long term. One wonders, I mean, here in South Africa, do we have a contingency? What if tomorrow or come end of April, PEPFAR does not receive its funding? And, you know, as far as executive order, this project is to be ended and cancelled. And we're never going to wait for the next U.S. administration to reinstate it. That could be 4, 5, 6 years from now. Does the country have some sort of contingency plan to continue the work of PEPFAR and other institutions that face such dilemmas?
Well, I think the Health Minister, Aaron Motsoaledi, has said that he is in talks with the Finance Minister to see what our contingency plan can be. The details have not been announced. But I think it's important to remember that South Africa handles most of its AIDS response itself. PEPFAR is only a supportive program that helps us to do that. So on the upside, we buy most of our medication, HIV medication ourselves, 90% of it, 10% comes from the Global Fund. What we face, what we're going to have to fund ourselves if PEPFAR decides to give us no money, is there are 15,000 positions of health workers, from doctors to pharmacists to nurses and community health workers, that PEPFAR funds to cover. And all of those programs work with either HIV treatment or HIV prevention or something in the field of HIV. So what we're going to have to look at is, do we really need all of those health workers? And if we don't, how can we get around it and where can we get money to keep most of them? And one of the ways to look at how to become more efficient is, for instance, to give out antiretroviral treatment for longer periods. So not just a month or 3 months, but for 6 months, so that health workers aren't overburdened. But you can really only do that with patients who use the medication well, who don't have complications. So you can't do that with everyone. But there are certainly talks going on about a contingency plan. I actually spoke to the head of hospital services and human resources in the health department today, and he did mention that those discussions are going on, but he couldn't yet give me details.
Mia, finally, before we conclude, I mean, the suspension of aid and assistance has not only been a South African concern, it's been an international concern, where either via USAID or other forms of aid that reach impoverished and developing countries. The fight against HIV, as we had discussed in years gone by, Mia, is not only a South African fight, but can be seen as a Southern Africa fight. I mean, we we are a collaborative community. You have workers, migrant workers from Swaziland, from Lesotho, from Zimbabwe in the country. They go back home. Issues that are here will go there inevitably. And that includes diseases as well. Our counterparts also who benefit from the PEPFAR program in beyond our borders, you know, maybe it's, I don't know, it's maybe putting the question on the spot over here. Are they also complaining and also mentioning the same concerns that they have regarding US-funded HIV programs in their part of the world, noting that HIV, in order to be tackled effectively, has to be seen as a regional issue, a Southern African issue?
Yes, programs around the world have been frozen. PEPFAR mainly operates in 14 countries, of which South Africa is one, and many of those other countries are in Southern Africa. So programs there have had to close down as well. They, of course, didn't get the order of funding, you know, has been taken away forever, like we got over the weekend. But in many ways, they face a worse scenario than us because they receive the actual medication from PEPFAR. So many of those countries don't have the money to buy their own antiretroviral pills, which is what you give to people with HIV, for treatment. We at least still have the pills. We just need to figure out where else to send the patients to get the pills. So in many other countries that receive these pills directly or the funds for the pills from PEPFAR, there's now a much more severe situation because it's not just salaries of health workers, it's the actual medication that they don't have.
Mia Malan, thank you for joining us on Radio Islam International with that brief discussion. Certainly, we'll be trying to follow up in the days ahead where this executive order is going and what's the future of these programs. And have a good evening ahead of you, Mia.
Thank you.